This whole thing.
I don't know.
Well, I find the whole thing preposterous.
She simply could not manage it.
How would you? How would she do it?
Now, wait. You don't know this girl. She could do it.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Listen, we've established that she has very, very long hair.
Very. But was it long enough to reach to the bottom of the tower she was imprisoned in?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, how could a handsome prince climb up that hair?
Exactly.
Handsome or not, she couldn't do it.
Couldn't do it.
The Great Rapunzel debate.
The guy would weigh, what, 180, 185?
How could her neck muscles handle that?
Maybe she does a lot of Pilates.
So we may bring you Peculiar Podcast.
I hear she wore extensions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our program of dance music to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News.
It's time for Peculiar Podcast, hosted by Pat Cashman.
Gorgeous to look at.
And Lisa Foster.
She's dangerous.
See, you're on.
Ready or not, it's Pat and Lisa.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
And away we go.
Away we go.
Well, there's an old reference for you. Anybody my age or older, if there's anybody still alive that is that old, that Jackie Gleason, that was kind of his signature.
Yeah.
And people say, who's Jackie Gleason? Sounds like a nice woman. No, Jackie Gleason was a guy. I'm not going to explain. It's not important. Let's get on with it.
It doesn't. I love how you self-corrected, like right there in the moment. You're like, you know what? No.
Yeah.
I am not going to just go down this hole that nobody cares about.
Yes, exactly.
You pulled yourself out of your own hole.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of other holes to go down, so
exactly.
Let's just move on to the next
one. I'm proud of you.
Okay, we got just a handful of fare thee wells to go through. I'm getting more picky. I mean, there's bigger and more important people that have shuffled away but from this lifetime. But I go for the ones where you can produce some audio for, because this is an audio podcast,
correct,
at least so far. We are discussing turning this into a video podcast, but that would require bathing. It would require combing my hair, brushing my teeth, probably some plastic surgery. There's
Putting on pants and a shirt. Like, you have to put on pants. I have to put on a shirt. Ugh.
Yeah. So all of that is what's holding us back. But we are in discussions and figuring out how we can pull this off. Okay. So here we go. First of all, I want to mention a guy named Jim McBride, who checked out at the age of 78. A musician, but he was a songwriter more than a musician himself. But he is credited with kind of reigniting honky-tonk into country music. And together with a guy named Alan Jackson, they had a huge number one hit on the country charts in 1992.
Well, way down yonder on the Chattahoochee, it gets hotter than a hoochie-coochie. We laid rubber on the Georgia asphalt. We got a little crazy, but we never got caught.
It was called Chattahoochee. And this is it.
Pyramid of cans in the pale moonlight. Talking about cars and dreaming about women. Never had a plan, just living for the minute.
Kind of a throwback to honky-tonk music. That was Alan Jackson's first number one hit.
That's right.
Well, of course that's right. I looked it up. As for Jim McBride, the songwriter, He wrote songs for a million years, never quite caught on, and then he finally broke through in 1980 with this song, A Bridge That Just Won't Burn by Waylon Jennings.
I threw away the picture of those better days in Dallas, but I can't throw away these pictures. She's a page of precious memories I've tried hard to turn. She's standing on a bridge that just won't burn.
good songwriter, Jim McBride. Mm-hmm. He belongs to the ages.
She's standing on a bridge that just won't burn.
Have you ever read the Dilbert cartoon strip? Kind of a satire Office Life?
I used to love it, and then I am not a fan anymore.
Yeah, that's unfortunately true for a lot of people. Scott Adams was the writer and drawer of Dilbert. And they had it was in like 2,000 newspapers at his zenith, but then he was dropped suddenly by 1,000 newspapers after this guy, Scott Adams, made some rather racist comments on his podcast.
Rather racist, yeah. They were blatantly racist.
Yeah, here's a bit of it.
So if you know, nearly half of all blacks are not okay with white people, according to this poll, not according to me, that's a hate group, and I don't want to have anything to do with it. The best advice I would give to white people is to get the hell away from black people. So I think it makes no sense whatsoever as a white citizen of America to try to help black citizens anymore.
So at 68, he checked out. He's gone. But I always feel bad for people who've had pretty successful lives. They were well-liked. The world was their oyster. And then they stumble at the finish line.
That's a really great way to put that.
Their legacy is tarnished forever after that. Scott Adams, the creator of Dilbert.
You need to get better at anticipating problems.
If I could anticipate problems, I wouldn't have agreed to work for you.
And then finally, this is a biggie. 78 years old, Bob Weir, W-E-I-R, a guitarist and songwriter, and most famous, of course, for founding, along with a couple other people, the Grateful Dead.
Like a two-dog man together, more or less in line. Just keep chugging on, on, on.
Back in 1965.
Wow.
And man, what a huge fan base that is.
Girls of neon and flashing marquees out on Main Street. Chicago, New York, Detroit, and it's all on the same street.
They call people that were digging Grateful Dead, Deadheads. That was the name of the fan base.
Yeah.
And it got me to thinking of other groups that could have fan bases like that. How about the Radiohead Heads? Or the Portishead Heads? And, of course, the Talking Heads.
Heads.
But I don't know of any such groups other than the Deadheads. That was a certain class of fans that just loved them to death.
So my baby down by the river knew she'd have to come up soon for air.
That was the first concert I ever went to, was a Grateful Dead concert.
Oh, is that right?
Oh my God.
How was it?
I don't remember.
Okay, then you were there, all right.
I was there, all right. I remember doing things that were very illegal at the time, which are now perfectly legal, like smoking a marijuana cigarette.
Oh, my gosh.
I did that. Yeah. I did that. And I just remember kissing a lot of people.
That's great.
I smoked a marijuana cigarette or two, and the music was great. I recall that, and I recall being very happy and very kissy.
One of my girlfriends in college. Okay, I'll tell you the truth. I only had one girlfriend in college. But she always used to tell me the story of going to, I can't remember, it was one of the major crazy concerts down in California someplace. I think maybe the Monterey Pop Festival 1967 or something like that. And she went to it, and she told me that she remembers being in a tent and smoking weed with Janis Joplin.
What?
That's what she claimed.
What?
And I didn't know I didn't know her to be an exaggerator, so.
Oh.
But man, if that happened to me, I'd be telling everybody about it.
Oh, my God. No kidding.
Okay, and that's it. That's our list of the dearly departed for this week.
Well, speaking of podcasts and getting on video and all that, that is sort of the way podcasting is going. And you and I started this podcast before electricity was even invented. So that wasn't even something that was on our radar. But
pioneers.
The Golden Globes were recently held. And Just added the best podcast category, which, by the way, it's not that I don't think we should be recognizing podcasts as a medium and an entertainment. It's got a lot of value. I mean, except for ours.
it's basically replacing radio now.
But why is it on an award show? Like, they have podcast awards shows. Why all of a sudden did they decide to create this little category for podcasting, which again is filled with mainly celebrities? It's not just the Lisa and Pat podcast. Notice how I put my name first.
Yeah.
And no, it's the Amy Poehler, which won for her podcast, and Smartless, fantastic.
Never listened to it.
Sean Hayes, Jason Bateman, Will Arnett, such a great podcast. So it's all these celebrity podcasts that were up for the award. And I just want to call BS on that right now. I've said my piece. I'm done.
All right. That's enough.
That's enough.
Stop.
No, I totally agree with you. It is. It's a showbiz. They should make it clear, we're talking about showbiz people podcasts.
Yeah.
Not general podcasts.
Yeah.
Because I don't listen to any of those. Yeah. I will listen to Smartless once in a while. Bill Maher has a podcast, which I find incredibly annoying most of the time.
Yeah.
The guy's ego could fill a stadium.
Yeah. It's the size of Texas.
But I'm listening more for who his guests happen to be.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. We're never going to get there unless we become incredibly famous. Maybe if we make a couple of movies. I don't know. Yeah. Well, and then we'll fall into the right category, but we're never going to get there any other way. And we are one of the few podcasts that is Poe. These other people are making a huge dollars. We're making none. We're Poe. We rely on the largesse and the kindness and the philanthropy of our 4, maybe 5 listeners. And
they're the only thing that's keeping this ship upright. That's it.
One of those listeners, by the way, is a dentist named Ty Galvin. He wrote us recently and said some very nice things about our podcast.
Yeah,
and he also closed the email that he wrote us with a joke, which I will submit to be the joke of the week.
Yay!
I thought it was okay.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. And thanks for your occasional contributions. Not just him, but anybody who does. Hey, have you noticed, and I'm sure you have, these TV ads that are coming on more and more, and I'm noticing them, and I was confused at first about what was going on there. But there are more and more TV ads that are using what they call AD, which is short for audio description.
And oh, right.
In other words, they're for people who are blind or have, you know, poor vision at best. And
right.
So it's to explain to people who can't see
what's
on the screen, what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here's an example of one. There are many, and you'll notice them now that I've pointed it out.
Jesus.
No, this one is for White Owl Cigars. No, I'm kidding. No, this is for MasterCard, and it's sort of self-explanatory. Here it is.
This commercial was designed with audio description for people who are blind or partially sighted, so more people can experience it. A red-haired woman holds a white cane, and feels her way down apartment steps. She strolls past a man scrubbing his vintage sports car.
Love the music, Rick.
Good morning, Marjorie.
Good morning.
Marjorie tilts her head. What's that sound? A shopping cart?
Hey, Marjorie.
It's her friend on a skateboard.
Hey, Marcus.
Nearby, kids play soccer. Marjorie steps into a tiny cafe.
Hey, Marjorie. Hi, Mayuki. Vanilla latte, please.
Okay, $4.50.
Someone shuffles impatiently behind her. Marjorie isn't flustered. Her cards used to feel the same, but touch cards from MasterCard have distinct notches for debit, credit, and prepaid. She feels a half hexagon, her credit card. She taps a terminal and takes her latte.
Thank you.
She steps outside and strides away from us. Touch cards appear, each with a distinct notch. Introducing Touch Card by MasterCard, because a world designed for all of us is priceless. The word priceless comes up next to the MasterCard logo.
So they tell you what's going on in the ad. And you'll see more and more of them like that. And I thought, you know, this could be very helpful, like at the movies, for example. You have a voice that's explaining what's going on.
Yeah.
Here's a scene from a movie you may remember called Harry Met Sally with audio description.
A couple is having lunch in a cafe.
How do you know that they're really?
He replies.
What are you saying, that they fake orgasm?
She replies.
It's possible.
He reacts in disbelief.
Get out of here.
Why? Most women at one time or another have faked it.
He's not buying it.
Well, they haven't faked it with me.
How do you know?
He chews on his sandwich and then replies.
Because I know.
The sandwich appears to be ham and cheese.
Oh.
Or perhaps roast beef.
Right. That's right.
She unwraps.
I forgot. You're a man.
Pastrami.
What is that supposed to mean?
Nothing.
She's getting an idea.
You don't think that I could tell a difference?
She replies.
No.
She says no. Then he says.
Get out of here.
He keeps telling her to get out of here, but he doesn't mean it literally.
Oh.
She moans, perhaps in pain.
Ooh.
Maybe she doesn't like the sandwich.
Are you okay?
She closes her eyes and her head rocks back.
Oh.
It looks like she really likes the sandwich.
Oh, God.
Other people.
Ooh. Oh, God.
Are beginning to look over.
Oh.
The man has stopped eating.
Oh.
So is everyone else.
Oh, God.
Perhaps she's praying.
Oh, yeah, right there.
It's unclear where right there is.
Oh. Oh.
Somebody should be calling for a doctor.
Oh. Oh, God.
She's resumed praying.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yes.
She may be thinking of her favorite rock band.
Yes! 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 Oh! Oh, yes!
Definitely her favorite band.
Yes! Yes!
She pounds the table.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Luckily, the table is well built.
Yes! Yes! Oh!
Personally, I might have said the Steve Miller Band.
Oh! Oh! Oh, God.
If it was a cramp, it seems to be subsiding.
Oh.
A woman at the next table over speaks.
I'll have what she's having.
Unfortunately, the cafe is out of pastrami.
Okay.
So that's very helpful.
Oh,
I think
very
we should, helpful. I think we should have a visual description of what's going on in this podcast, on the other hand.
There is nothing going on. That's, what are you going to describe?
There is Pat. His hair is messed up. He doesn't smell very good. Lisa Foster, same story. Perhaps worse. I don't know.
Perhaps
we should consider adding that to our podcast. Hey, speaking of that,
it's a good idea.
This is a wild change of subject in a way. Have you done any video dating lately? I saw a TV show where somebody was doing that in the storyline, and I thought, I know somebody who does this on a semi-regular basis.
Yeah,
and it's Lisa Foster.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
you still at it?
Well, still at it. That just sounds.
Yes. Well, the only reason I say that is because,
Pat,
I would have given up.
Yes,
a long time
Pat, I'm still at it. Still at it. Still looking for somebody I'd like to spend some time with.
And you've not found anyone?
If I had, don't you think you'd be one of the first people to know? Don't you think I would have texted you from the den of love and said, hey, Pat, guess what I'm doing right now?
I have to cancel the next four podcasts. I'm really busy right now.
I'm in the...
Don't do that. No. Wait. I'm talking to Pat. Wait till I'm done talking to Pat. Then you can touch me there, okay?
Yeah.
Just wait.
Let's say I'm not, what would the word be? Avidly committed to it. I'm lightly just, it's on the peripheral of my life.
You're a dilettante.
I'm dabbling.
Yeah.
I'm not, it's not like every other day I might go in and see if there's been a message from somebody or whatever. So let me tell you.
Do you think because you're dabbling, you're not getting anything accomplished? I mean, shouldn't you dive into it head first and
I'm not,
headlong?
No, I am not spending my days on this earth putting forth any more energy than necessary because it's not that really that important to me. I have a great life. Okay. I have great friends. I have you. I have my dog. I have my garden.
And I came in ahead of your dog.
I mean, it's not.
No, I know.
It's not that important. It would be nice. Let's put it that way. But somebody once put this very well. They said if the sweetness of my peace and it can be outweighed by a man, then, or how do they put it? I'm not saying it right, but the peacefulness of my current existence is pretty good. So it's going to take somebody to make that much sweeter for me to want to be with them, if that makes sense. So,
so is it that you're running into more duds, or have you placed the bar way, way much higher, far much higher than you did, say, 5 years
ago? Absolutely. And rightfully so. We have settled far too much for ridiculous treatment and, absolutely. There's a movement going on now with women who are like, we're just not putting up with this anymore. And that's, you know, you hear about this male loneliness epidemic. Yeah, you should be lonely. You're acting like a jerk. Yeah, go be alone with that. Don't be in my house, in my space with that jerkness. Go do that somewhere else. So we're just kind of not allowing it anymore. And that's the way it is.
I just feel fortunate that I don't have to be in that market because, man, I would not perform well. I don't think, I would say most potential would say, oh, man, this guy, let me get rid of this guy.
Why do you say that? You're joking.
I don't know. Maybe I just think I'm insecure about it. I think it would be hard to just be yourself, but you should just be yourself. But I think many, if not most people, and I can only say men because I don't know about women, I'd say most guys, you want to put your best foot forward and you exaggerate things, mislead, all in with the idea that you know, I'm going to make up for it when she sees how great I really am. Yeah. But I don't want to say, I'm not going to mention my time in the penitentiary right out of the gate, you know. I'm not going to mention my experiments with dead animals and things. I'm not going to mention that. She doesn't need to know that right out of the gate. But let me waltz in favorably, waltz. And then we'll take it from
waltz
there.
Waltz is the key word there. That's what they do. Which, by the way, I do. You know, the internet's great to find out about people and their backgrounds and their histories. And I'm going to get serious with you here for a moment. And I had a really nice conversation online with a gentleman recently, and made plans to meet him for coffee because we had a nice video date. He didn't talk over me. He didn't talk all about himself. He didn't pick his nose and, you know, all that stuff. And he was...
Don't trust him.
Intelligent and thoughtful and reasoned and measured and just...
Don't trust him.
Funny.
I don't think there's anything wrong with picking your nose as long as you don't show it to
them. Right. I'm picking my nose right now, but I'm not on camera.
I'm Mike Wolf. And I'm Frank Fritz. And we're Pickers.
American Pickers, coming in January on History.
But we exchanged names at that point. We had made a plan.
So you are now Carl and he is now Lisa? Is that what you mean by exchanging names?
Well, our full names. Okay. So, and he had a name that was unusual enough in a city that I'd be pretty easy to find out more information about him. So, and I fully expect to be Googled, and you know, that's part of the game now, is find out more about this person that you are going to be maybe potentially meeting and seeing a little bit more. Is there anything out there that's untowards, like you said, the whole, you know, dead animal experiments and whatever. And I'll be damned, Pat Cashman. I Googled this person's name and guess what I found?
I'm afraid to ask.
I found a court case from 10 years ago for a domestic violence situation. Boy. And I'm like,
oh my gosh, I'm like, you're kidding me.
I'm like, okay, oof. I'm out. And it's, I'm like, okay, well, you know, that's how Ted Bundy got all his victims, was being handsome. And this guy was handsome and charming. And I'm like, yeah, I don't care. I'm not going to even get involved. I don't even care if he's the one who filed it against her. I'm not even going to get in that craziness.
No, that's right. So that's a red flag, and it's going to stay red.
My daughter
came down for Christmas, for the holidays, and we were going out into the garage one day, and the door handle came off the door so that you couldn't get out of the garage. I had to go open the garage door itself and go walk around the front of the house, go into the house, and then open the door from the inside. And so her reaction was, what's going on with the door handle? Are you going all Ted Bundy on me? What's going on?
And
oh, good. That's a new reference.
Right. I'm going to do a background check on you, Pat. I've known you for a long time, but who knows what you're hiding? I don't know what you're hiding.
Secrets. I want to keep your secrets. Like sunlight in the shadows, like footsteps in the grass.
Yeah, so I typically will, if the conversation goes well on a message, meaning just the text, and there's no, you know, they're not being overtly sexual or any of that baloney, and they seem to be relatively intelligent and can spell, and then you know, then let's have a video chat and see where it goes from there. So today
I was gonna say, what's the latest one you've had
today, right before we logged on? I had a video date with a guy. We'll call him Harold. Let's call him Harold.
Hair old. Hair old.
Old hair.
Hair old.
And
okay. Not Harry. Harold.
And Harold.
Harold the archangels sing.
Harold's bio. So, I'm just gonna say it. I don't care. He put it out there. He's like, his bio on his dating profile said, I'm gonna be succinct here and see how this goes. Here's the rub. The very first thing he decides to talk about is, he says, I need someone who can keep up. And I'm like, what the F does that mean? Mm-hmm. Intelligence is his love language. It's what makes him happy. Blah, blah, blah. He cooks beautifully. Blah, blah, blah. He's into the Oregon Ducks. Blah,
quack,
blah,
quack,
blah,
quack.
Whatever. So I'm like, blah, blah, blah. Fine. Let's have we'll have a video. He reached out. I said, yeah, all right. But I was still bothered by, I need someone who can keep up. What the hell does that mean?
Yeah.
Who the hell do you think you are, mister?
Well, that's it. That's it. That just suggests that he thinks he is intellectually superior to most people, and especially women.
I shouldn't have even had a video date with this guy, because we get on the video date. And first of all, he's a lot plumper than his pictures would lead you to believe. Now, I don't have a...
You know how TV screens can add 10 pounds, they say. Okay, well, I say, the bigger the screen, the more it adds. So I'm about 80%.
I sent you a screenshot. Do you have your email right now?
Yeah, I do.
So I'm thinking,
what's your first name? Jobber. Okay.
So he's in his like Barca Lounger thing and his big old bellies out there, and I'm thinking, you need someone who can keep up, what, to keep up eating pizza with you? What the hell?
keep up your pants?
And the other part of his bio says, I golf, I hike, I work out when time permits.
Yeah, in between meals,
of course. While he's eating, maybe. I don't know. And I don't mean to, I disparage anyone's looks or anything, but it was like, he just had this sort of pompous way about him when he really wasn't the bee's knees to begin with. And to sort of set a declaration or an expectation of needing a woman to keep up with whatever his brilliance is was just very off-putting.
This is great. This is the bee's knees, Adam 9.
Hey, sweet pea.
Of course, during the whole, I've texted you during my date, and I said, Pat, I'm on this date with this guy who will not stop talking. He would not stop talking. And the funniest part was when he finally got around to asking me a question. I'm not kidding you. This is how it went. He said, and he sniffed a lot. I don't like sniffers. What is with the sniffing? Like he would say something like, yeah, you know, I bought my house and I'm working on it and I'm building a blah, blah, blah. He does a sniff and hitch thing. It's like, what the hell is that? So he,
I know a guy, something like that.
Yeah.
You can always tell when he's bragging. I just finished a project with Microsoft.
He does
the Barney Fife, the hitch and
That's
sniff
what
thing
it
all
is.
The time.
It's
a tell. Yeah.
It's the Barney Fife sniff.
Now, men, I have just one thing to say. This isn't going to be kid stuff.
Oh, my God. I'm thinking, I can't even stand 5 minutes of that with you right now. I can't imagine a lifetime of you sniffing at me. And so he said something and sniffed, and then he got around to me and said, so what have you got going on today? Because I've actually got to go to Home Depot and pick up some wood and go do this because I'm building this. And what's really weird about that is that my brother has this thing, and we were going to go to Vegas, but we never got around to. He asked me a question.
he asked me
a question, didn't even give any pause in between there.
Didn't wait for the answer.
And went on to talk about what he was going to do. Can you imagine how much I wanted to stick a fork in my head at that point in the video date?
And then if there was a, an analysis of how the date went, he would say, well, I asked her a question and she never, I mean, it's not like I didn't ask her a question.
Yeah, she sure didn't. Come she on. Didn't say oh, well. Much at all. She didn't really tell me much about
very,
her.
I don't think she's very smart and I need a smart woman. And I don't think she can keep up. I just don't. I don't. And, I run a lot. I'm a jogger, and I don't think she could keep up with me in that way either. I got, there's a lot more of whales in the sea than her. I mean, fish. And so I'm going to be a little picky.
I'm a little picky. You need someone who can keep up. Dude, I can outrun you. I can outthink you. I can out-clever you. I can probably do all of that while I'm sleeping. So maybe
that sounds like the perfect guy to me.
Yeah. So there you go, Pat.
Okay.
This is how it goes. Okay. And every time I get on these dates, I think, you know what? If nothing else, it's going to be a good story. It's good podcast fodder. Yeah. It's good for, it's good. It's a good drinking story. It's, I don't mind it at all. So there you go.
Every day is research, going out, seeing what the public and life will
absolutely.
Yield.
Absolutely. That's the only reason I'm doing these video dates. I get on and I go, I can't wait to find out what I'm going to share with Pat. Because if it goes well, I'm probably not going to. There's not much entertainment there. It's the ones that are a train wreck.
My wife and I went to a restaurant nearby the other day. And I said, oh, excuse me, I'm going to go use the restroom. I go into the restroom. I later recorded the door of this restroom.
The door? What are you
this
talking
was it.
About? You recorded the door.
Listen to this. I pulled out my phone, got the little recording part of it, the audio part, audio record. And this is the sound the door made.
So on the way out, I mentioned to the waiter, I said, you know, that the men's room door sure makes a creaking sound. A little WD-40 had fixed that. He said, thank you. We'll take care of it. So we go back to the same restaurant about a week later, and I try the men's room door again, and this is what it sounded like. So the sound went from this to this. Now that's progress.
Oh!
Someone knocking at the door. Somebody ringing the bell. Someone's knocking at the door. Somebody's ringing the bell. Do me a favor. Open the door. I let him in. Ooh, yeah.
In a way, when you're in the restroom, that creaking noise could disguise some of the activity that might be going on in the restroom.
It's brilliant.
Which brings me to this story I saw in the New York Times under the headline, Like to Go Quietly? This sounds promising. Turns out that if you step into any public restroom in Japan, you're going to get enveloped in a soundscape. In other words, you might hear running water in there, maybe cheerful tweets, birdsong, music, sound effects. In Japan, these sound-generating devices do the job of courtesy flushes. Now, do you know what that is?
A courtesy flush is when you flush to cover up any untoward noises that will be either created by your body or created by the water interacting with whatever your body created.
Boy, you knew it. You got it. It's a form of bathroom etiquette where noises that can be embarrassing are drowned out by the roar of a rushing river or other sounds of nature. And so apparently these devices have been standard in Japan's women's restrooms for years.
I think that's brilliant. I hadn't thought of that. I love that.
They conceal unwanted sounds. And the other reason they're popular is they conserve water because they found that women flush an average of 2.3 times without a sound device, but when there is a sound device, they do it 1.5 times.
Yeah.
So we're saving water because you don't feel like you got to flush now to disguise the next noise I'm going to make.
Yeah.
It's already covered up by these things. And so slowly, as you can guess, they're starting to make their way into this country. People like Ali Wong and Drake and Jimmy Kimmel, they're devotees of this thing, and they think, this is great.
Yeah.
We need to put these in all our public restrooms. And listen to this. Here's one called Sound Shogun that plays the rousing theme from the popular samurai TV drama, The Unfettered Shogun, at just the right moment. And this thing went viral.
I think that's awesome. I had a girlfriend when I worked at the bank a million years ago who we had, you know, we were there for, you know, 8 hours, 9 hours. She would not go to the bathroom at the bank. She would wait till she got home. And I'd say, well, what happens when, you know, nature calls and she goes, I plan my eating carefully so that it does not have to happen till I get home. I mean, she would literally plan around the intake versus the outtake sort of schedule.
Yeah.
And she said, if for whatever reason that gets, you know, that goes sideways, she goes, I'll just run home on my lunch hour. And she would drive all the way home to go to the bathroom because she just...
A friend of mine was married for a long time to a lovely Japanese woman from a first-generation Japanese family, and they were married for 30 years. She passed away finally, unfortunately. But for 30 years, they had two kids and everything. Mm-hmm. But for the entire length of their marriage, when she had to go a number two, she'd get in the car and she'd drive several miles to her parents' house.
My God.
Yeah, it's true.
Wow. Some people associate that with dirtiness or uncleanness or being unfeminine or all of that. It's fascinating, the psychology behind that.
I don't know if it was cultural or what, but she was so embarrassed by it that she would not do it in the same house. She could be in the other end of the house. Not good enough. I'm going to my parents' house.
Another summer day has come and gone away. From Paris to Rome, but I want to go home.
Speaking of bodily noises, I was watching an Instagram account that was talking about sneezes, and I can't recall you and your sneezes. I know what your coughs and your farts sound like, but I don't know what your sneezes sound like.
What are you talking about? Why would you know?
What?
That's a closely kept secret.
Are you a loud sneezer or are you a quiet sneezer? What? How?
I stifle my sneezes, and my wife's always telling me, "Don't do that. Let it go,
yeah,
man. You're gonna blow your eardrums out or something if you
Why do
that.
You stifle your sneezes? What's behind? What's the reason? Are you embarrassed?
Well, because I just think they're rude. Yeah, it's embarrassing in front of people, and I at least cough, you know, do it into the crook of my arm or something, but. But if I'm by myself in the car, man, it goes.
So
I go full throttle.
Yeah. So this person, this study, or what he's claiming is that people who sneeze loudly don't really have to do it because there's something about you don't really have to engage your vocal cords when you do a big, you know, at you sneeze.
Yeah.
And I take some umbrage with that because it's like, no, it feels terrible when you're stifling your sneeze. There's really nothing better than just, like you said, letting it just rip. I'm a very loud sneezer. The whole neighborhood knows when I've sneezed, especially if I'm outside working in the garden. I just let it go. So
did you sneeze in the middle of your video date with Jabba?
No, why do you ask?
Well, I think we tend to look at interactions with other people and see their deficiencies and not realize, no, maybe it's not them. Maybe it's me.
Yeah, I didn't sneeze, Pat, but I yawned a lot. I was so bored.
That's contagious.
I was so bored. I was texting you in the middle, trying not to let him see me texting you.
That's right. You did do that.
But oh,
it took a screenshot of it.
God. God. So anyway,
well, you bring up the sneeze thing, Lisa. And I remember on our radio show a million years ago, I used to muse about how my name, Pat Cashman, was a well-suited sneeze name. and I would demonstrate it. I'd go, Pat. Cashman. It was a good sneeze name. And for some reason, a stupid topic like that generated a lot of phone calls. And I remember we would get this call from this young boy. I don't know how old he was, but I'm guessing he was 10 or 11. I think that's what he told me one time. His first name was Ross. And he had a last name that was like Slavic or Polish or something. But I'll just say, for the sake of the story here, his name was Kurhishian, Ross Kurhishian. Okay. And then the kid, when he would call, I'd say, Ross, demonstrate your sneeze for us with your name. And he would do it every time. My name is Ross Kurhishian. And it was killer. It was funny every time he did it.
That's so cute.
Yeah. And then when we would end the conversation every time, I would say, Ross, what do I always say? And he said, dress for less. That's right, Ross. Dress for less.
Oh, my God.
And then we'd hang
so
up.
Funny.
Cool little kid. He was really funny. Now he's an adult, I'm sure, and I would love to know whatever became of him.
I know. Maybe he'll reach out.
I guarantee you, he's not listening to this stuff.
Yeah. Who knows?
Hey, I was on a plane, I don't know, month or two ago, and it reminded me of something I've observed often on airplanes.
What?
And it's here. Let me. I'm going to use my. It's another chance for me to use my.
Oh God.
Device, which you know, I know you love. Test. Okay, it wouldn't be an echo. Test. Okay. So, you know, you're on an airplane, and then it will come over the intercom.
Hello,
like Commodore, this is your pilot speaking.
Well, what I've noticed is that half the time you can't, they're not talking loud enough, or the system isn't turned up loud enough. And so you can't hear them very well, but you only hear bits and pieces of their remarks.
Yes.
And it occurs to me, maybe these remarks could be really, really important, but you can't hear them. Nobody can, fully anyway. And I said, so does a flight attendant or anybody ever say to the pilot after the flight or even during the flight, you know, Captain, we can't really hear you back here. You've got to speak up. But apparently they never do tell them. So this poor pilot goes on uninformed and unaware that he really isn't being heard very well. And sometimes I think it could be very important.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your pilot speaking. Certain death. Incredibly painful, bursting, glorious, horrible way to die. Thank you very much.
Oh, wait, what? Alarm bells are going off for me.
What? All I was interested in is, are you going to bring me some coffee?
Yeah, right? those are key words. Those are big old red flag words right there.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering why they don't do a sound check or something when they get on board. I mean, you know, we do a sound check, but.
Well, it's different, of course. Once you get in the air, there's sounds of the cabin.
Oh, true.
Sound. True. The airplane noise and other people talking and carts going down the aisle. So that's how you would have to check the sound under real conditions, I suppose.
Yeah.
I have nothing further to say about that, except it is frightening sometimes on an airplane. Because you can't hear what could be life-saving information.
I think if we have amongst our handful of listeners to the podcast, if we have a pilot, could you please explain yourself? Would you please send us an email?
Yeah, would it kill you?
And explain yourself why you don't feel we're important enough to hear you. Because we can't. We can't understand a word you're saying.
Okay, so I guess we're about getting to the end of the road. I did want to mention, I just started making this list the other day of rude behaviors. And like, you know, saying, hey, I'm looking for somebody who can keep up. That comes across as
a little rude. Yeah.
Here's some others. And this has happened before to me. If somebody shows you a phone photo, like you say, oh, you have a dog? Yeah. Here's a picture of Fluffy here. And they take your phone and they look at Fluffy and then they start swiping to other photos and stuff.
No.
Yeah, it's happened a couple times to me. Yeah.
No, you are not allowed to swipe on my phone. That's why I don't.
Exactly.
That's why I don't hand my phone to people. I just show them from a safe distance so they can't see what I took before that.
In similar fashion, by the way, is when you're given a speech or you're emceeing something or doing an auction, never give the microphone up to somebody in the audience.
Oh my God, you're right.
That's a golden rule. Don't give it up. Okay, here's some others. This drives me crazy. Like when you're riding those little trams, those little buses at the airport, taking you from one end of the airport to the other. People crowd up to get in when it stops. Yeah. Not letting the people who are trying to get off first drives me nuts. Elevators, all
there's
those
a
my
there's a
don't stand still at an exit. Damn it!
There's a phrase for that. I think it's called. They call it in the airport when you're getting ready to board. They call it gate lice, and there's a psychological reason that people do this, where they start to assemble before they're even. I'll have to go back. It's really fascinating. If you guys Google gate lice, it's really fascinating gate why lice. People do this.
Okay, I'll check that out. I just thought it was like some kind of a fear that they're going to miss.
That's part of it.
Their bus or that's miss their not have to wait at the elevator for a second elevator.
That's part of it.
Others quickly, don't leave your shopping cart in the middle of the aisle. Drives me crazy.
I know.
Like, always wash your hands after using a restroom. Base your opinions on facts. Don't use a speakerphone in public.
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah. Don't stare at your phone when you're hanging out with somebody, or don't look at your watch when you're hanging out with somebody. Yeah. Like, I got someplace better to be than with you. If you borrowed something three times, you need to get one of your own.
Can I go back to the phone thing? Because I just find that really...
You mean the swiping thing?
No, if you're having a conversation or you're having a cup of coffee with someone or whatever, and they just have their phone, it's like, wait, what are you doing? Unless I've had somebody say, I'm so sorry, this was a work thing, I've got to grab this. That's different. But I tend to put my phone away and turn it off if I'm out with someone. I just don't need, it's not going to be that big of a deal unless I'm, you know, waiting to hear results from a doctor that I need to have my phone on. I don't know. It just bugs me.
I was thinking that you were going to talk about the speakerphone thing, which is similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just annoying.
And so you're walking around in public.
Yeah.
Well, have you looked at it? I mean, how have you looked at it?
Yeah, it's really red. It's really sore, and it's leaking a little bit. Jeez.
Okay, well now again, don't blame me for that. I mean, we did try some things, but
yeah, but this is I don't know what to do about it.
I mean, people don't need to hear that stuff.
They don't,
but they want to. Maybe I don't know. All right, let's wrap this baby up. Let's bring the cow into the barn. Let's bring the horses into the corral. Let's bring the pigs into the trough.
And the chickens into the coop.
It is time for Ty Galvin's closing joke. A man goes to the dentist to ask how much it would be to pull a tooth. And the dentist says, that'd be $100. Oh, really? Well, that's too expensive.
Sorry.
Do you have anything cheaper?
Well, I mean, that is the normal price for an extraction.
Guy thinks about it, says, okay, well, what about if you don't use the anesthetic? How much would it be then?
Oh, well, that's unusual, but we could do that, and that would be about $75.
Okay. What if you used a trainee, you know, and no anesthetic?
Oh, okay, well... I think that could work, but it would be a lot more painful. I mean, but I think that'd come in around $35.
Oh, okay. Still, that's quite a lot of money. What if you make it a training session with a student doing the extraction, and then the other students can just watch?
Okay, well, that would be good for the students, but it'll be pretty traumatic to have it done that way. I would only charge $5 for that.
Oh, that's great. That's perfect. Can I book my wife for her appointment on Wednesday?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Ty.
Thank you, Ty. Little taste, Novocaine, baby,
Novocaine, baby. Sink full of dishes, pacing in the kitchen, cocaine for breakfast. Yikes, bed full of women, flip on a tripod, little red light on, shooting, I'm feeling like Stanley Kubrick. This is some visionary shit. Been trying to film pleasure with my eyes wide shut, but it keeps on moving. I blame it on the model bra with the Hollywood smile.
Thanks for listening to Peculiar Podcast.
Hey, goodbyes.
Join Pat and Lisa online at peculiarpodcast.com.
The gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
And on the Peculiar Podcast Facebook fan page.
Sweet.
On Twitter at Peculiar Podcast, at Mr. Pat Cashman, and at Foster Chick.
Join us and live in peace, or pursue your present course and face obliteration.